Romans 14, verses 13 through 18. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one from whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Amen.
So something you might not all know about me is that I really enjoy pop culture. I might not be as up to date on things as I used to be, thanks to two kids, but it's something I really enjoy and like to take part in. And I wanted to use a couple of examples in this sermon as illustrations. So that was the first one, which was Everybody Loves Raymond. Who watched Everybody Loves Raymond when it was on, or still in syndication and things like that? It was like one of the most popular TV shows of all time, so thought it was pretty safe that you all have probably seen that before. But everybody is always fighting on that show, right? Like it's Deborah and Ray, or Deborah and Marie, Marie and Frank. They're all always fighting. And that's what we kind of love about the show, because it's hilarious. Their fights are funny, as we just saw. And after, 30 minutes or 22 minutes, if you don't count commercials, everything's okay. And everybody's a big, happy family again. And I mean, if our fights with our family or our partner or our friends were that hilarious and had a laugh track behind them, then maybe they wouldn't be so bad, right? But that's not reality. Unfortunately, our fights aren't that funny, and our relationships can suffer because of them. Last week, we began a new series called The Four Horsemen. Kelly gave us a really nice introduction where we learned that this sermon series isn't really about the book of Revelation or the end times or being left behind. These four horsemen, much like the biblical four horsemen, are a sign of something ending. But these four horsemen are a sign that a relationship is ending. And we get the four horsemen from the studies done by John Gottman. He spent something like 40 years studying the fights people have in marriage. And he, disclaimer, he did focus on marriage relationships, but we think that these can be applied to any relationship, to marriages, but also to friendships and relationships with coworkers and your family, all of them. But he would watch people fight, and he got so good at his predictions that he could watch a couple fight, and within a few minutes, he could predict whether they were headed for divorce or not and be right. Because that's where these four horsemen of the apocalypse lead. They lead to separation. When criticism, contempt, and defensiveness, and stonewalling are present in a relationship, that relationship is headed for destruction. And if you think you're immune to them, I've got bad news for you. You're wrong. Today we're going to discuss the first of the four horsemen, criticism. And the criticism that we're talking about today is different from any of the other types that might have any kind of positive connotations. I'm assuming that most of you have heard about constructive criticism. That's when one gives helpful criticism of how another can be, do, or make something better. It might not feel great in the moment, but it's done out of love. And its purpose is to build someone up, not to tear someone down. That's definitely not the criticism we're talking about today. The criticism we're talking about today, Gottman saw in relationships, had the purpose of taking someone down. I don't know why, but I have this image of football practice when they like go for the knees and like take someone down whenever they're trying to catch things. I don't know football. It's just the image. So if I'm messing it up, I don't know. But that's the image I have. They're just taking someone down. Its purpose is to make someone feel rejected, to shame them, And it is an attack. It is not an attack on the problem. It's an attack on the person, one's very character. And I wish this wasn't true, but I can probably guarantee you that every single person in this room has experienced this kind of criticism towards themselves. How many of you have siblings? Then yes, you've experienced this kind of criticism before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Siblings know what buttons to push, don't they? I'm the fourth of four girls, so I know this very well. And I wish this was also not true, but probably every single person in this room has given this kind of criticism. Again, siblings, if you have. Maybe it wasn't to their face. Maybe you thought it. Maybe you told someone else your criticism about that person. Any of these ways, it was still present in your relationship. Remember earlier how I said you're not immune to it? And if you think you are, you're wrong. Well, confession time. Well, side note first. You're about to learn a lot about the preaching team, I think, with this with this sermon series. I think Callie had a little bit of a confession last week with defensiveness. You're about to hear mine. I'm assuming more are coming, so get ready for that. My confession is that I kind of thought I was immune. But I wasn't immune. I was in denial, which are very different things. As I was going through this material for the sermon series, I realized that criticism might be the one I struggle with the most. Only, I don't struggle with these things out loud. I keep them to myself, and I criticize silently. Somehow in my mind, that's better. It's not. I'm not really one for conflicts, and I'm also someone who feels really, really bad when I know I've hurt one of my loved ones with my words. It stays with me even after we've had a talk and they've forgiven me. I will remember it for a long time. There's still stuff from my childhood that I carry with me that I've been forgiven for. So I may keep these criticisms to myself so that I don't hurt my loved ones' feelings, but I totally think them. Like I said, I have three sisters, and we just know how to push each other's buttons. I mean, well, most of the time with sisters, it's not, like, directly pushing buttons. You're, like, talking to the other two sisters about that other sister, and then they talk to that other sister about what you did, and it's just a big mess. And so everybody's pushing everybody's buttons, and it's a lot of criticism and a lot of hurt. But I've done that to Evan, too. We had to have a talk about this. I'm like, do you know that this happened just before I tell the entire church about the entire congregation before? So, luckily, we talked about it. So, after I had Lizzie, I wasn't doing very well. I was diagnosed with postpartum depression and anxiety. And then we were really surprised to find out that Mr. Levi was on his way when Lizzie was only 4 months old. He's great. We love him. We're good now, but surprise. So because I was going through all that and I didn't know how to deal with it very well, I started focusing on what I perceived to be Evan's flaws a lot. And the thing is, he was just trying to do the best he could, too. I mean, he was working and finishing up seminary, and also getting used to this whole new parenting thing. And we were both just trying to figure it out. But instead of giving him grace in that moment, I criticized him a lot in my own mind. So while I didn't yell at him all the time, I definitely thought them. And that situation was largely due to my own stuff. Like, it wasn't really because of Evan. It was my own thing. And so as I sought help for the postpartum anxiety and depression, I could start changing the way I thought about things and the way I was seeing the world and our life and everything. And it got better. And I stopped criticizing in my head and started just talking to him about problems. And just in case anybody's wondering, postpartum anxiety and depression is pretty much gone and, like, doing really great, so night and day now. So that is, yes, thank the Lord for sure. But there's another reason why it's important that I change this behavior and way of thinking. Gottman says that criticism is the least bad, or quote-unquote bad, out of the four horsemen in day-to-day practice. Like, if this is the one thing present in your arguments as a couple, then maybe your relationship's not totally doomed. However, in my opinion, it's kind of the most important to talk about, because criticism is basically the gateway to the other three showing up in your relationship. Once criticism starts in a relationship, it can lead to contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. And I can totally see how this can happen. Luckily, the others were much less present while during that dark time where I was being really critical of Evan, but I can tell you that it's not a far jump to that next behavior. And also, as Christ followers, we are called to not judge one another or enable their bad behavior. So let's look at the scripture that was read earlier by Ryan and see what Paul has to say to the church in Rome about these things. Therefore, we must not pass judgment on one another, but rather determine never to place an obstacle or a trap before a brother or sister. I know and I am convinced in the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean in itself. Still, it is unclean to the one who considers it unclean. For if your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy by your food someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you consider good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God does not consist of food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For the one who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by people. So let's give this passage a little bit of context. Paul is writing to the church in Rome because there had been many problems. The Jewish people and the Gentiles were trying to figure out how to be a church together after a very long time of conflict, and it wasn't going well. They were very judgmental of each other and insulting and critical. And Paul was trying to help them sort these things out. And it was important to Paul to get the church of Rome past this place of criticism so that they could be the church. It's very hard to be the church in a healthy community of believers when you're just criticizing and insulting each other all the time. Paul uses the Greek word krino in this passage when we read it in the original Greek. This is where it pays to meet your husband when you're both in seminary, because Evan took Greek and I did not. So it's like having your own built-in Greek scholar at home, because I didn't know about this word, but it's pretty cool. So krino also means to preach or proclaim, and it is where we get the word critical from. I think that's pretty interesting, because Paul is telling the Church of Rome that we are called to not be critical of one another, because if we do, we are no longer walking in love, in verse 12. And in verse 13, he says that we are never to place an obstacle or trap before a brother or sister. And I think that's a really important point, because we may think that when we're critical of someone else, that we are just leading ourselves down the path to the other four horsemen. But we're not just leading ourselves, we're also leading the other person. We're dragging them down with us. And yes, I know that they are people and they make their own choices and they need to take responsibility for those choices. But if we are grabbing on and dragging them down with us, we need to take some responsibility for that as well. Especially because we are called to do things differently. Because we are called to walk the path of love and not place obstacles in it. So I have another video clip that shows how criticism can snowball into the other four horsemen. Matthew was very gracious and edited it for me because there was some language in it. But and from what I hear, he did a really good job. So, and I also didn't give it to him till yesterday. So thank you, Matthew, and I'm sorry. But I really wanted to show this video because it's a really good example of how things can escalate in relational conflict. And yes, it did have some language in it, but when we are in this fight and these four horsemen show up, we don't say very nice things, and that includes our language. So another huge thing before I show the video that you might not know about me is that I'm a giant fan of the show Gilmore Girls. Has anybody else watched that show before?
No, I haven't.
I'm like, no, you haven't. We've talked about this. Well, okay, so not many of you. But just to give you some context, the two women in this clip are mother and daughter. The daughter's name is Lorelai, and they've had a very difficult relationship, their entire relationship, and the husband and father of these women had just passed away, and the daughter, Lorelai, had just told kind of an inappropriate and disparaging, not very nice story about her dad instead of a fond memory when it came her time to share at the funeral. Well, that clip was a lot less funny than the first one, right? So I wanted to show you this because it's a pretty perfect example of criticism and how it shows up and how it can escalate. There's a problem. Lorelai's story, which we didn't see, but it was not great. And they were angry about it. And instead of talking about the problem, they chose to attack each other and their character. And they choose to keep escalating the fight instead of de-escalating. There were moments where they could have not come at each other, and they choose to anyway. And you can see the contempt that they have for each other in that moment. You can hear the mom, Emily, saying phrases like, you never, or you always. And Lorelai starts getting defensive, or at the pretty much the very beginning, when she's saying, I didn't know there'd be a test. I said I was sorry. And then it all culminates when she walks out the door, and in the scenes after, they haven't talked to each other for months, stonewalling each other. So now you may be feeling like all of your relationships are doomed because you just realized that you or someone you love is super critical and everything is going to go in a downward spiral and it's awful.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. But luckily, I have good news for you. There's an antidote to criticism. And you know what? It's just one thing. And it's not this giant multi-step process. The antidote is to use I statements when you're talking with the other person. So instead of attacking the person or the character, you say how the problem is making you feel. Instead of placing the blame on the other person by using you always or you never statements, you use I statements. So here's an example. Criticism would say, you always talk about yourself. You are so selfish. So this person used you always, which is pretty much never, I'm about to say never, but never true when you make generalized statements like that. And then you are so selfish. I don't know about you, but name calling has never really helped in settling arguments or working through things for me. So name calling, not so great. The antidote would be, I'm feeling left out by our talk tonight. Can we please talk about my day? So instead of attacking the person, even though this person, the first person who gave the criticism, instead of giving that criticism when they feel unheard or unseen, they focus it in on the problem, and they focus in how that problem is making them feel. So they say, I'm feeling left out by our talk tonight, focusing on the problem.
Can we please talk about my day? They offer a different way of doing things, or maybe even a solution for that. So the antidote in itself is kind of easy in that it's just one thing. But however, it's kind of hard to change our behavior. So try, and I know this is really hard when you feel unseen or unheard or underappreciated, but try to think before you speak. Seems easy, but it's not always. And if you realize that you're criticizing someone in the middle of doing so, it's okay to stop and apologize. Don't apologize for how you are feeling, because your feelings are not bad. I think sometimes we internalize this differently. Your feelings are not bad. But you can apologize for how you've expressed your feelings. So if you realize this, you can stop talking and apologize for how you expressed your feelings and say what you really meant to say was, this is how I'm feeling about this right now. Can we ... and find a different way to deal with the issue? Or whether that's changing the conversation, taking a break, or talking about each other's feelings in a constructive way. Now, if this is something you struggle with, whether out loud or silently, it will just take some work to change the way you think about things and your behavior. And those things take time. So I don't expect you, and please don't expect yourselves, to just have everything change like that, because it won't. You got to work with yourself and with the other person to change the way things are. I know some of you come here on Sundays and you really enjoy the service. You love worshiping and it's just a really, really awesome experience. And then you go home, you get busy throughout the week, stressed out, and you totally forget to think about church again until it's Saturday night and you're like, oh, we're going to church tomorrow. I get it. I was that person. So I understand. It's probably somewhat normal. But the things that we're talking about in this sermon series, and arguably every sermon series, but that's not my point right now, are things that can be practiced in your relationships every day. And it will help them every day. So if you just think about it on Sundays or practice it on Sundays, it's not going to help you. It won't work. So I challenge you, as we continue worshiping and leave this place and you go back to your families or go to work tomorrow or whatever it is that you have on the docket for this week, I challenge you to examine yourself for signs of criticism. When you're in conflict with someone, think before you speak and ask yourself if what you're about to say is attacking a person or a problem. Do these things knowing that criticism can lead you and your loved ones down a dark path. And what we are called to is to walk down the path of love. Let's pray. Creator God, Lord, I thank you for our relationships. I thank you for the people who are in our lives and who you've made them to be. I pray that your Spirit would be with us as we interact and engage in conflict with one another. I pray that we would choose to walk the path of love and not place obstacles for our loved ones to fall over. Amen.